Good morning.
Good morning.
Have a couple of announcements and a few prayers. You might see these little red apples out in the foyer. They are little collection banks for the serving our kids. And if you would like to participate with that, they will be in the foyer. If you have any questions, you can see Sean on that. Have a number of prayer requests. From Josh and Shauna, Shauna's requesting prayers for her grandfather. His physical and mental health has deteriorated this past month. He's currently undergoing bouts of dementia, and he also has COVID and congestive heart failure. He's no longer able to live on his own, and pray for Shauna's mom as she is taking care of him. And they also ask prayers that he will reconciliate his relationship with God. And this would be a good time to do that. This would be a good time for anybody to do that. Lisa Sagita, her daughter, Tia, is having knee surgery this Tuesday, and she's going to be going up to Seattle to be with her for a few days, and she prays that the surgery will be successful and that they will have safe flights. We need to remember Frank and Armita Bruno. They have been sick the last couple of weeks. They'd contacted COVID. They were traveling out of town, and they think they caught it on the plane coming back. And they send their best to everybody, miss us. They're on the tail end of the symptoms, but it hit them pretty hard. Let's keep them in our prayers. And also Ann's cousin, we had mentioned him recently, Gregory Walls, got some good news. It had recently been, he had been diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. It has been changed to stage 3, and they're able to treat that. And so we rejoice in that. Let us, before we get into our lesson, let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you, thanking you so much for all the blessings that you give us. Dear God, there are so many that need your special hand, your special care. We ask that you be with those that we just mentioned. The not only physical needs, but the spiritual and emotional needs for all those involved. We ask that you be with the Brunos as they're recovering from COVID. We're so thankful that Ann's cousin, Gregory Walls, is able to be treated. We ask that you be with the doctors and let the treatment be effective and the right treatment for him. Dear God, we ask that you be with Shauna's grandfather. We especially pray that he will take the steps to correct his relationship with you. And we ask that you be with her mom as she cares for him. Dear God, we ask that you be with Lisa's daughter Tia this week as she's going to be undergoing knee surgery. We ask that you be with the doctors. Be with Lisa, a safe trip as she goes up there to be with her and helps care for her in her recovery. Dear God, be with us in our as we continue our worship to you today. And again, we're thankful for everything you do for us. We give you all praise, all glory and honor, and we pray through your Son Jesus. Amen. We're going to take our lesson from 1 Timothy 4:12 today. And as Josh mentioned in his remarks before he read the scripture, The Apostle Paul, this and 2 Timothy are accepted that these are the last letters that Paul wrote. And he was writing it to his beloved, I think you said, Josh, is his adopted son in the faith. There were no blood relation, but they were as close as a father and a son. And he's writing this to Timothy, and this verse really, amongst others, stood out to me. He says, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Starts out here, "Let no one despise." The New American Standard says, "Look down on." Let no one look down upon you. Let no one despise you and your youth. Don't let anybody have anything against you. Don't give them a reason, because people may be looking for it. People are people. You got to love them. But people are people. Let no one despise. And he goes on to say, let no one despise your youth. Timothy was a young man. At this time, estimated probably early 30s. Not a teenager by any stretch of the imagination, but not an old man either. There are people that will look down on people in their 30s. "Oh, they're just a young pup. They don't know what they're talking about." If I remember right, about the age of 30, Jesus started his ministry. But yet there's people. And unfortunately, I've even heard of people in the church looking down and talking down about people due to their age. What is it that Paul was referring to? "Let no one despise you of your youth." What do you think of with youth? You think of sometimes lack of maturity. I know I look back at my youth, and there was a lot of examples of lack of maturity or lack of mature decisions, things like that. Paul's telling them, you don't give them any reason due to your youth to look down upon you. Another example of youth is impetuous. Acting sometimes without thinking. The Apostle Peter had that problem sometimes. Don't do that. Don't be a know-it-all. You know more, Timothy, you know more than most. Don't come off as a know-it-all. Isn't it amazing how much teenagers know, and then they realize they didn't as they get a little older? But don't be a know-it-all. You know more. You know more scriptural knowledge than most. Don't come off as a know-it-all. Sometimes youth are accused of lack of knowledge. Don't do that. He also told Timothy in his writings to study, to be diligent, to show yourself self-approved of God, rightly dividing the scriptures. Don't be argumentative. You can be right, but come off argumentative in your teaching. Don't do that. Youth are usually driven rather than by knowledge and maturity. They're driven by emotions and hormones. Let no one despise your youth. Don't give them any reason to discredit you and the things you will teach them. In 2 Timothy 2:2, he also told Timothy in his next letter to flee youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. I do not know if Timothy had a problem with youthful lust, but being young, Paul is reminding him not to get caught up in that. I love Paul because he will tell you what not to do, but he also always gives you the out of what to do. Just doesn't tell you, don't play in the street. Usually says why and an alternative. Let no one despise your youth. Instead, be an example. And he gives a list here of the things that you be an example in. The first thing he says, in word. That's one of the best things that we use is our words. We teach with them. We encourage each other through words. We give honor and respect to each other. We can correct each other through words. 2 Timothy 4:2, Paul told Timothy to preach the word, to be ready in season and out of season, to convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Teaches him not only what to do, but how to do it. The Apostle Peter wrote, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We do that with words. We do that through the word. Paul told the Colossians, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each other. Not only in word, Paul told Timothy to be an example in conduct. Not just in word, don't just do what I say, but do what I do. Be an example in conduct. We say an awful lot sometimes without saying a word. It's not only what we say, it's what we do. Where we go. Where we are seen. The body language we use when we're saying or not saying words. Paul told Timothy, in your conduct, be an example. Amen. Colossians 1:10, Paul said, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. When we remember that, is our walk worthy of the Lord? Kind of puts it in perspective. Fully pleasing Him. Being fruitful in every good work. and increasing in the knowledge of God. In Philippians, Paul wrote, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ." Are we properly reflecting the gospel through our conduct? Paul says we need to. So that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast with one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We're to be an example in love. That's one of the things that is going to separate us and the example of the world, is our love. Jesus said in John 13:35, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." That's how the world, looking at us, if they see the love that we have, that's one of the things, that's an earmark, an identifying trait of whether or not we are Christians and whether or not we are disciples of Christ, is if we have love for one another. In spirit. The American Standard Version says, in manner of life. The way we are, our spirit conducts itself. The manner of life we live. And then it can be seen. It will be obvious. Not that we live one way and show a different side, a two-faced life. Not that we're just not going through the motions. Come Sunday morning, we flip on a switch, we put on our church clothes, and act a certain way. That we live that manner of life. John 4:24, Jesus said, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." Paul is telling Timothy, be that example in spirit, in faith. That's the foundation of everything. Dick conducted a quarter class recently about faith. Oh, two quarters. They were separated. Of faith. Without faith, we're wasting our time. It's the foundation of everything we believe, do, read. Without faith, we're nothing. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." If we don't have faith, we're not pleasing to God. In purity. We get that purity when we're baptized. When our sins are washed away. We're not that alien sinner anymore. We're added to the church by God. James 1:27 says, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." It takes a lot more effort than it appears in that one phrase, to keep oneself unspotted. God wants us to be pure. It takes a little bit of effort in order to do that. The Apostle Peter wrote, in fact, in verse 15 and 16, to be holy, for I am holy. God wants us to be a reflection of Him. Let no one despise your youth. We could plug in other things. Let no one despise your advanced age. Let no one despise the fact that you're only a this. That you're only a that. Show the gospel through your life. Let no one despise you because you're a housewife. I'm only a mother. If you're only a mother, you've got that example to be right at your feet. Those beautiful children. I'm only a school teacher. Let no one despise you because of that. I'm only whatever. Paul was talking to Timothy. He's talking to us. Let no one despise you fill in the blank. But live, be an example in those different ways. Your word, your conduct, purity. The lesson is yours. If you're not a Christian, if you've heard the word of God, God wants you to follow Him. Jesus died for us. Wants us to follow Him. He wants us to be... Jesus said, Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. If you're not baptized, you're hence not saved. He paid a high price for us to be able to do that, to forgive us of our sins. If you are a member of the church, if you are saved, but if you've got sin in your life, repent. Ask for prayers. Change. We've had a number of prayer requests today. If you need prayers of the congregation, let your needs be known. If we can assist you in any way today, please come forward. Let your needs be known while we're singing the invitation. Let's stand and sing.